I conclude that there is a God.
If you have any experience with God, you can reasonably conclude there is a God. We're not arguing about that argument.
Not
any. The question is whether you have that experience at all, whether you rightly label it, or whether you're deceived in your labeling.
The question isn't whether we have the experience. You admit the person has the experience and the belief.
The question is whether the experience has a referent to it. That's right. The question is whether you're
and
right.
To believe that no single person who is utterly convinced in the history of the human race, including Jesus Christ, was right about the experience that there was a God is an incredible belief.
And to believe that no human being who believes in the non-existence of God was right is an incredible belief.
Well, because the experience of nothing is an incredible
Do you really think that somehow the fact that people see ghosts gives them primacy over people who don't see ghosts because the people that see ghosts experience the ghosts?
Absolutely not.
Then explain how you think experience of the existence of God is superior to non-experience of the existence of God.
I think that's what we've done already. The historical rational arguments we presented are quite not in the class of ghost stories, I think you have to agree.
You're falling back not on your classical rational arguments, but on direct experience. In direct experience, I say that the ghost argument goes against you.
I didn't say direct experience unqualified. I said critical experience.
Okay,
all
critical
a scientist
experience.
Has of the world is critical experience.
Okay.
A naive realist has uncritical experience. A scientist has critical experience.
All right. Now we have people who have had critical experiences of ghosts.
Do you think
we should believe those rather than the non-ghosts?
I don't believe there are people who had critical experience of ghosts. Once you criticize them, you find out that there was no referent to it.
Oh, so
but
now
once you criticize the religious man's experience, you find out that there was a reference to it. That's quite different.
So there's an external proof on which the whole thing swings. It is not the experience. It is the existence of the external reference established externally of the experience that shows that the religious one worked.
No, it is the experience of the referent. All experience is not of itself. Some experiences are experience of something else.
Getting too fancy. Is it the experience that makes the claim true or not?
Absolutely not. It's the critical experience of something else that makes
and
it
And the
true.
Critical experience includes looking at the other classical arguments.
The critical experience includes looking at any reason relevant to that experience.
So it includes looking at the whole picture.
But it does not include overlooking it and neglecting it, which the non-believer does, saying, well, I didn't have that experience, therefore you couldn't have it. It's like somebody saying to a married man, I don't believe you can have a married experience because I'm a bachelor.
There's no doubt that argument.
The atheist seems to be saying, I don't think anyone has ever experienced God because I didn't.
If the atheist is saying that, then that's a bad argument. This atheist isn't saying that. This atheist is saying that the fact that a lot of people claim to have had experiences of God shows that they were brought up in a tradition which led them to think that certain types of experience should be labeled as divine experience.
This is the point. You have to say that every single person in the history of the whole human race
right.
was totally deceived about his experience that there really was a God out there.
Exactly as you have to say that everybody in the whole human race was deceived who thought the opposite. You see, you thought you could get off that by talking about experience versus non-experience, but now it turns out it's critical experience, and critical experience involves the other argument. So the atheist is now in the same position as the theist.
Absolutely right. And the critical experience shows that critical, intelligent men, at least one of them, surely in the history of the whole human race, was critically right about his experience. Therefore, there was a God. Not to hold that is to hold that one single critical Christian or believer in the history of the human race was right. They were all totally deceived.
Let me suggest to you that there's an excellent book which is called 200 Proofs That 1 Equals Minus 1. Now, it seems absolutely incredible there should be 200 proofs that minus 1 equals 1 and not any of them be true. A lot of people thought those proofs were pretty good. They're collected out of interest. It is not interesting to multiply error in order to support the claim that it isn't error. It doesn't matter whether there's one person in the history of the universe or millions who think something. If their grounds for thinking this are wrong, then they're wrong, all of them.
If I said to you that not one single scientist, critical person, is right about the existence of an external world, how would you look upon that argument? If I said they were all totally deceived and that one single scientist, even though they were critical men, even though they thought they were experiencing an external world, that they were all totally deceived, how would you look on that?
I would say something very simple. The external world is a necessity for talking about any real things, whereas the divine world is not such a necessity.
I would say exactly the same thing, that the external spiritual world is a necessity for talking about spiritual things, as is the physical. Then what would you say to that?
You've got to prove the necessity for talking about the spiritual world, but you can't.
You have to prove the necessity of talking about the physical world.
The same kind of argument applies. And I prove that by showing that you have to, and we both have to, whereas I do not have to talk about the spiritual, so you're in a jam.
Where is the difference?
The difference is that we both have to talk about the material world.
We don't both have to talk. I think Berkeley showed that. You don't have to talk about a physical world. You were saying that idealism is absolutely impossible, untenable, philosophical position.
Untenable, yes, right. You reject it and I reject it, and we have excellent reasons for
that. No, I don't think that you can reject it logically, so you have the same kind of argument.
The difference between it is that you're stuck with two impossibilities. I'm only stuck with one, if you think that.
No, you're starting with three impossibilities. The impossibility of unbelief, number one, plus the other two.
Any more questions? On the left? On the left.
I never make the presupposition that we can explain the universe. I only make the presupposition we can explain some of it, and after that we have to just keep trying.
But to make that kind of statement presupposes that you have some criteria as to how
this
is
going
to come out. How?
What's
going to? Well, if you're going to arrive at science, that's the whole law. That's the philosophy. Moral, practical,
okay, we switched to ethics. I certainly do have ideas about how we might improve our ethical behavior, yes. That's a long and rather different subject, and all I'll say is that it seems to me the fifth step is to treat ethical issues as issues that are as difficult to resolve as issues in the calculus, and spend 5 or 6 years of our educational schooling on addressing them seriously instead of acting as if somehow on Sunday morning in Sunday school you're going to pick up the solutions.
Do I understand the answer to that question mean that the rational and critical man has no reason to believe that humanism offers any hope for the world?
The rational critical man either has or hasn't made a study of humanistic ethics. If he hasn't, then he doesn't have any reason to believe anything about it. If he has, then he ought to believe that it has some hope for the world.
It's one thing you don't say that we dare all
Would you like to, why don't you just read some of the 20 papers I've devoted to that question? It's just too much to get into. I spend most of my life today working on reforming the pre-college educational system in the direction of improving the training in morality and ethics. The question of what I see and what I hope will happen are two very different questions.
What do you see based on the historical
precedent we have? Disaster.
I think that's an honest answer, and in fact it's the one that Nietzsche gave, who perhaps was one of the most prophetic men, that atheism leads ultimately to nihilism and to humanism without hope. Nietzsche prophetically envisioned himself as a madman. He said, to have lost God means madness, and when mankind will discover that it has lost God, universal madness will break out. I might add a footnote, a look around or read the paper. This apocalyptic sense of dreadful things to come hangs over the world. Nietzsche said, when God died, all morality died with him. and the only hope for this world is God as manifest in Jesus Christ. It's not an unfounded hope, it's a historically verified hope, but it's a hope that fills the expectations of man and that helps us to avoid the nihilism of humanism and atheism. And I offer to your credibility the choice. Do you want to make the H. Brown the sequel in which all men are cremated equal, or do you want to make God, through Jesus Christ, the hope of mankind, choose you this day whom you will serve?
Now let me give you an alternative perspective on it. The alternative perspective is this. We are a Christian society committed officially and doctrinally in every possible way in both this country and the one to the south of it to the idea that God made us, that morality is to come from religion. We have many religions from which to produce it. We are looking at the results of Christianity in looking at the disaster.
Let me offer a very serious correction. This is not a Christian society. It may be Christendom, but that's just a bunch of dumb Christians. This is a materialistic, humanistic society, at best deistic. The founding fathers of this country were not theists, they were deists, who believe there's a God who made the world but doesn't monkey with it. Thomas Jefferson took all the miracles, all the supernatural out of his Bible and published it after his death as a Jefferson Bible, and it ended, they put Jesus in the tomb and rolled the stone, period. And if that's where the New Testament ends, then we, as Paul said, are of all men most miserable. Fortunately, it ends with the resurrected, triumphant Christ who offers hope for mankind.
Well, let's put it this way. It's certainly the case that good Christians would not regard the goings-on in high places in recent years in North America as examples of good Christian behavior. But they are the outcome of many decades of leaving religious education and moral education to mainly Christians, and it's not a very promising outcome. So I would much appreciate it if you wouldn't refer to this as the results of leaving the education to humanists. Humanists never get into the educational system. There are the number of kids attending humanist ethical culture schools and so on is, what, 0.01%. Humanists, that is, people who are seriously concerned with ethics, approach from a humanistic point of view, represent a smaller group of those concerned with ethics than the smallest sect in America or in Canada. This is hardly the result of a humanistic
ethic. I think you have a very narrow definition of humanism.
Yes, I do.
In that case, we have a semantical problem. Let me redefine it then. Anti or non-theist, anti or non-supernaturalist, naturalist, evolutionist, Darwinians, purely naturalistic outlook has dominated and is dominating North American education and is the root of our problem and leads to this situation. Until we introduce God and Christian principles back into it, we can continue to expect to go in that direction. It's far from Christian. It's much closer to humanism, at least in the broad sense of the word.